Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming out this morning. Even though the group is a bit smaller, that's okay. Where two or three are gathered, there God's Spirit is in the midst of us. And I'm thankful this morning that all of you made the choice to come to church this morning. And that is what the message is going to be about, is choices. Different choices. I've been thinking about that quite a bit the last while. And choices. We make a lot of different choices in a day's time. I did some research, and it is actually amazing how many different decisions, choices that we make in a day's time. And all of these choices have a small impact on our lives, and some have a big impact on our lives. And so I think it's important that we consider the choices that we have before us, and that we make right choices. And I thought it fit in well this morning with our Sunday school lesson. If we think of God, creation, and all that God is to us, it is our response, our duty is to follow Him and to make choices that are pleasing unto Him. So I thought that fit well. Before we get into the message, I'm going to have just a small children's class here this morning. So for those of you children that are here, if you want to come up front here and sit on this bench here, we'll just have a short lesson for you. Very good. So we're thankful that you children chose to come to church this morning. That was a very important decision to make. And you children are the future of the church. And so the choices that you make are very important in your lives as well. And so on Wednesday morning, I was asked to have devotions at school, at the local school where our children go to. And so I talked about this and I decided, you know what, I think this would be a good lesson for the children. And then later, we'll talk about the choices that some of you have to make on your level. And then later on, we'll talk about some of the choices that we'll look into God's Word and see some of the people in the Bible that made wrong choices and what an impact it had on their life in later years. And so something to always remember is, as you grow older, the enemy, when I say the enemy, the devil is going to come, and he's going to come and try and get you to do wrong things, try and get you to make wrong choices. And you always have to remember, the enemy's there, but God is there. And you want to listen to God's voice, because God will tell you to do right and good things. So if you're confused, if you have a decision to make, and you're confused about what to do, listen to the voice that tells you to do the right thing. That is the voice that you want to listen to. Okay, so I have six things here this morning that we're going to put up here on the pulpit, and we're going to talk about them just a little bit here this morning. Things that maybe are choices that you have to make when the enemy, when you're faced with a decision, when you're faced with this choice, what your outcome is going to be. So can someone tell me what this word here is? Unthankfulness. So is that anything that any of you deals with, is unthankfulness? Are there ever times that any of you complain at home and you're not thankful for what you have? Guess what? Some of us older people do too. It's not just you guys that complain. So when the enemy comes and he tempts you and you want to be unthankful, you have to remember that you want to make a good decision and be thankful for what God has given you. Okay? Can someone tell me what this word here is? Kyrie? No, not cheating. is a really, really good one. Because I figure that's something that sooner or later in your life that you're going to be tempted with is stealing. And so let's say you're at the store with your mom or dad, and there's this still voice inside of you that tells you, you know what, no one's looking, mom and dad aren't watching. You can probably just sneak that little candy bar into your pocket and no one else is ever going to know about it. Guess what? You may think that's a small choice to make, but in the end, if you make the wrong choice, at the end, you're going to have to face something a lot bigger. Because once people find out what happens, in the end, you're going to have to go back and make your things right. So make the right choice. If you make the right choice, you don't have to go back and apologize and say sorry for what you did. Someone tell me what this is. Koki? Okay, thank you. Can someone tell me what this is here? Yes. Is it too far away for you? Okay. That's okay. It says lying. Are any of you ever faced with lying? The enemy will come and tempt you and try to tell you, you know what, it's okay to say the untruth. Is it okay? Always say the truth. Always make the right decision. Make the right choice and say the truth. Because if not, if you say the first lie, usually you're going to have to keep telling more and more lies to cover up that lie. And you soon will get yourself into a lot of trouble. Have to keep moving here. I'll just read some of these off here. The next one here is mocking. Mocking is making fun of other people. And this is probably something else that you're going to face sooner or later in your life, is making fun of others. Never, never, never do that. God does not like that. Just because someone can't do something as good as you can, or whatever it may be, always make the right decision. Never, never make fun of others. The next one is cheating. This is a really good one, too, because guess what? It's pretty easy to cheat when you're at school. You look over, you don't know the answer, but the person beside you has the answer written down in their book. So what are you going to do? Are you going to write down the answer? Or are you going to make the right choice and decide on your own what the right thing is to do? The other one is anger. Any of you ever struggle with anger? Yep. I would say, if we're honest, we probably all struggle with anger at times in our lives. And so that's something that we have to keep under control, is we have to make the right choice and not get angry. It was sort of interesting. Often when we share about something, the next week, God tries us to see if we're going to pass the test. And so on Wednesday after I had chapel at school, I went back to work and something happened that I had to decide if I was going to get angry or how I was going to respond to the situation. So I took a few deep breaths, and I said, nope, we're not going to get angry. We're going to remain calm and do the right thing. And then the last one is coveting. And coveting is wishing for something that's not yours. Do any of you ever face that in your life? Maybe your friend has a whatever, a new basketball, a new pair of shoes, you go home and tell your mom, dad, I wish I could just be like him. No, be thankful for who you are. Be thankful for the way God created you. Because all of you has a unique gift and a unique talent. Never wish to be someone else. Don't covet what other people have. Be thankful for what God has given you. Okay? Thank you for coming out this morning. So remember, the older you get, the enemy or the devil will come to you and try and tempt you with things that aren't right, but always choose to make the right decision, to make the right choice. And if you have a question, either ask God about it or talk to your mom and dad. And the best choice that you can make in your young life is to follow after Christ. If you follow after Christ and accept him into your heart, and then God will give you direction when these things come up, and then you will know how to respond. Okay, thank you for coming this morning. You can go back to your parents.
Okay, going back to if you think about choices, keep thinking along that pattern. Our choices can either make us better people or they can make us bitter people. Whatever happens to us, so as we go throughout life, different things will come into our lives, and I have to decide what kind of choice am I going to make? What's happening to me, is it going to make me a better person or is it going to make me a bitter person? And the older that I get, the older that my children get, I realize how important it is for me as a parent to make the right choice. Because guess what? My children, whether you like it or not, are probably going to turn out exactly or very, very close to the same way that you are. So if you don't like the way you are, well, then you'd better change and make better choices so that you're okay with how your children turn out. And it really alarms me at times with everything that we have going on in our world, in our society. There's so much going on. There's so many different choices, different decisions that us as parents have to make. And it's a real burden on my heart. Are we making the right choices so that our children turn out, end out right in the end? You can actually turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, and then we're going to look at a couple examples in the Bible of men who made wrong choices. They made wrong decisions and the impact that had on their lives. While you're turning there, there's a few quotes that I found that talk about choices. It says, "I'm not a product of my circumstances, I'm a product of my decisions." And I thought that was very true. I can't control what comes to me. I can't control the circumstances, but I can control how I respond to it. Happiness is not by chance, but by choice. Whatever comes into my life, I can choose to be happy or I can choose to be angry about it. You cannot control the behavior of others, but you can choose how you respond to it. And that's probably one that hit me pretty hard. I can't, as we rub shoulders with different people in the workplace, I'm sure there's people that you work with or associate with from day to day that you don't always necessarily agree with. I can't change them. I can't control their behavior, but it's up to me how I want to respond to the situation. Okay, Genesis chapter 2. So if I'm not wrong, this week we had talked about, I think Ed, you had put it on the men's group about the man, it talked about Lot one morning, and that got my mind spinning, got my mind rolling. We will get to there, but we want to look here in Genesis chapter 2, where just at the beginning here, after God had finished creating everything, and we see here how the devil came to Eve and the choices that she made and the impact that had on her life. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, going to read verses 15 to verse 18. It says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." So basically here, after creation, God lays it all out. God tells them, you know what? Every tree you can eat of, but there's this one certain tree that you are not supposed to eat from it. And he says, if you eat of it, you will surely die. And I find it very interesting, not soon after that, if you turn to Genesis chapter 3, we are going to read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 13 as well. And we'll see here, very familiar story, but it just stood out to me again how a wrong choice was made and the effects that were thereafter. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Abraham and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thing that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So like I said, here we have the enemy that comes, the serpent comes, and he comes, and it's interesting, the enemy often comes in sort of a sly, in a subtle way, in a way that we don't expect it. And the same thing is here, that the enemy comes to the woman, and he sort of, so like we had read in chapter 2, God had just got done telling them, here are your boundaries, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do. And so the next day they get tested. The enemy comes and said, you know what? Did God really say that? Are you guys sure that God said that? And if he did, are you sure he really meant it? He probably didn't actually mean it for you guys. And right there and then they had a decision to make. They had a choice to make. What were they going to do? And the sad thing is they gave into the choice. And if you look afterward, and for lack of time, we're not going to go into it, But the thing that really struck home with me is the choices that we make. This had a very big impact on their lives. They were in the Garden of Eden. God had created everything in a beautiful way. And guess what? Because of the one wrong choice that they made, they had to leave. And their life changed dramatically from that point on. Okay, we're going to keep moving here. We want to get to the account of Lot here. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. And I'm sure we are all aware, or we know the story of Lot. But once I read the whole story of Lot and the choices that he made, the wrong decisions that he made, I almost cried for him. My heart almost wept. He made a couple wrong choices, and at the end, literally, it pretty much destroyed his whole family. And if we look here at Genesis chapter 13, we'll just paraphrase it here. You know what? Let's jump in at verse 8. Genesis 13, verse 8, we'll read a couple verses here. It says, and Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Verse 11. Here's where Lot fell. It says, then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. I had to think, if only Lot would have said, you know what, Abraham, let's just take a couple days here, and let me think through this. Let me decide for sure what I want to do. They stood there, and it's actually sort of interesting. The first part of chapter 13 there, they had a problem, and the problem was they had too many things, And isn't that a lot of our problem today? We have too many things, and all of our things at times create more work, and they just get us into trouble. And all of the things that we have to make different choices. It just adds another dynamic to life. And so here we have the same problem in the Scripture. They had so many things, the land couldn't bear them anymore, and they decided, you know what, it's time to part ways. And so obviously a choice had to be made. And Abraham said, you know what, Lot, you choose which direction you want to go. And obviously, I'm sure that the plain of Jordan was probably the nicer land to take, and so that's what Lot chose. But if we want to continue on with his story here, and we'll find out the simply because of he chose the land that looked nice. And it's just it was just very disheartening to me once if you study more of the life of Lot, and simply for the wrong choice that he made at the beginning, what that did to his family. And if you look later on there in chapter 13, the blessing, it says, after that Lot had left, the Lord came to Abram and he told him, you know what? He basically blessed him and he said, everything that you see around here will be, it says in verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And that was just a blessing in itself. We see, if we compare the life of Abraham versus the life of Lot, even though Abraham's life was not easy, at times he didn't know where he was going, he was faithful and God blessed him. Versus if you look at the life of Lot. If we keep going to Genesis chapter 19, and here it picks up the story of Lot again. Basically, I'll just paraphrase here again for the lack of time. Basically, these men, and I'm just alarmed. It seems like Lot is a total different man than he was at the beginning, just simply by the way he responds to the questions that are asked him, and the way he responds to the men that came to his house, and what he told them that he's willing to give them. I had to think, you know what? I think Lot's heart changed. And I would probably venture to say it was probably because of riches, his things, the direction he chose to go. It changed his heart, and it can do the same thing for us as well if we're not careful. And sometimes at the end of the day, I have to ask myself, what am I actually searching after in this life? Is it, yes, I agree, we have to make a living for our families, and we want to, but where is that balance? Where is that fine line of making the right choice? When is enough, if that makes sense? If we look at the life of Lot, he chose what looked nice, he chose riches, and look at his ending. So the three men came and told them basically what's going to happen. They said, you know what, escape for your life. The Lord is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to just jump in at verse 24 and read to verse 29. It says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Here we have it again. You know what, God, these men told them, you know what, don't look back, run for your lives, get away, this Sodom and Gomorrah will be destroyed. But his wife had to take one more look. She made one wrong choice, and guess what, it cost her her life. Now, it's not often in our lives that we experience that. We make wrong choices, and we don't necessarily die for them, like some of these people here, but these are examples that we have to look off of, and it's so important that we choose, when we have a decision to make, that we choose the right. And that I had to think that I take time and I ask God, I wait, Lord, which direction do you want me to go? I don't just make a hurried decision, but that I ask God and seek his will. And if you look here at verse 30 on down to verse 38, it's terrible how Lot used his daughters, the sin that he committed, and like I said, it breaks my heart just simply because I think Lot changed. And at the end, it I'm repeating myself, but at the end, it basically destroyed him and it destroyed his family. Versus on the flip side, you look at Abraham, even though he had a lot of different things that he went through, God was faithful to him and God blessed him simply because he made the right choices in his life. And there's many other different examples that we have in Scripture as well. I had to think of Joseph. Here was a man that made a right decision. Everything he went through, and if we would have time, we would go read the account where he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Joseph made a right decision, and at the end, he was blessed for it. And I had to think, can you imagine if he would have made the wrong decision? I don't know if God would have still blessed him and used him in the way that he did. God's work, God's plan would have still gone on. I don't know if it would have been Joseph, but simply because of being faithful and making that right decision at the moment, God later, he was blessed for it. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here. In closing here, I just jotted down a couple things. If we think of choices, and like I said at the beginning, there's so many different in the world, in the society that we live in, there's so many different decisions, so many different choices facing the Christian family. What do we want to bring into our homes? What do we not? And some of the things will have a small impact, but guess what? Some of the things will also have a very large impact on our children. And like I said at the beginning, if we want our children to turn out in a godly way, then me as a father, I have to set the example and I have to live a godly life. Just a few things, and I'm just going to be, just some things I want you to think about it this morning. Some things some choices that I'll bring it home, that we are facing in our own family. What are we going to do? Which way do we want to go with it? And like I said, I want you to think about it. Where do we want to end up in 15 to 20 years from now? I guess that's my concern. And some of the different choices that we make, it scares me because they can have such a big impact on our lives. One thing that came to my mind is technology. How much do we allow it in our homes? Where do we draw the line? When is enough enough? How much? And I'm just going to talk plain. I think it's something that we all face. How much screen time do we allow our children to have? Choices, decisions we have to make. And another thing that's pretty trendy right now, and if you have it in your home, don't get upset. I just want you to think about it, is video games. There's all kinds of different gadgets, you name it. You might laugh at me, but it's a big concern that I have. Where do we stop? Where do we start? Where do we want our children to end up at? Do I want my child to, I'll just be honest with you, do I want him to grow up and simply be a computer geek that barely knows how to make his own living, or do I want my child to grow up and be able to work and provide for his own? I guess what I should say is, I think if we'd all be honest, we want our children to get outside and play outside and work. I think that's how God created it. And so, like I said, it's something that you have to decide for yourself, but think about it. And like I said, the other thing is finding the balance of working, making ends meet, and spending enough time at home, having family time. The other thing I jotted down is family devotions. I don't know how you find it, but if we want it to happen in our home, then I need to be intentional about it. It starts with us dads. We need to be intentional about it and make it happen. And you know what? Even though it takes time and we have to make that choice, that decision to do it, the rewards are priceless. I don't know how you are, but it just blesses my heart when I hear my children sing, when I hear them pray. Like I said, it's priceless. What more do we want? What are we actually here for? And I will end with these couple verses in Joshua. Joshua 24, very, very familiar verses, but I want to encourage you with them. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I will leave you with those verses. Make the choice. Let's be like Joshua and determine. Hit the stake in the ground and say, you know what? I don't care what the rest of the world does. I don't care what everybody else does. We're going to choose as a family to follow Christ and stay committed to him. Like I said, God will bless us if we do it, versus, I think we would all agree, versus making wrong choices, maybe following what my flesh wants, and then I will have to reap that as well. So, sorry for going over time this morning. I will turn the time back over to Tyler.